Yes, Lord. Powerful ministry song. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes. Let us pray. Great is thou faithfulness, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, our God, our rock, our shield.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
God, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
This day. That we were able to arrive here safely. Reasonable health, sound mind. God, we thank you. God, this is the time that we honor you. This is the time, God, that we want to hear from you, Lord God. So in the name of Jesus, clear the atmosphere now. That if there be anything in this room or in anybody that's not like you, Lord God, that you strip it away right now in the name of Jesus. God, we need to hear a word from you. God, we need a word that is empowering, one that is encouraging, one that is healing, a word that will change lives, Lord God. So we need to hear from you. So God, if there be anything in me that would block me from hearing directly from you, from heaven, take it away right now in the name of Jesus. God, if you give it to me, God, I will stand boldly before the people and declare what thus says the Lord this day. So Holy Spirit, sweep through this room and do what you need to do for your people. Have your way. Meet them where they are, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. God, let your power, your anointing, your glory, your presence be felt throughout this entire block, God. Let them know, God, that you are God and there is no other. So have your way. It's in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. And we believe it is so. And we say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. On this first Sunday of January 2016, God is taking us back to a familiar scripture. Because as a church, we have a special assignment. So I'm asking all believers to listen. God has revealed that everyone will not embrace the assignment that he has for abundant life. But for those of us who can hear spiritually, listen. And obey. God is saying to our church, I am equipping you for a greater service here on earth. As a church, you have been working diligently in the kingdom, building a foundation. However, I have a greater work for you. That is why I gave you the message on New Year's Eve. God will do a new thing. He will do this thing in abundant life and in the members of abundant life. God is saying many receive that message. However, he's asking the church this morning, are you willing to be a part of the new thing that I will do in your church? Are you willing to invest your time, your talent, your treasures? Are you willing to be obedient to my word without knowing the end result? Are you willing? Do you trust the God that we serve? Are you willing? And as God was laying out some things for this message and for our church, this is my testimony. I said to God, don't do it without me. God, I want to be a part of your plan here on earth for this church. But God, don't do it without me. God, whatever your plan is for abundant life, I accept the assignment with great anticipation and expectation. But God, don't do it without me. So my soul says yes, Lord. See, I just believe it in my spirit that what God has for us will be marvelous and it will be great. But God, don't do it without me. So is there anybody in this place that have it in their spirit? God, don't do it without me. God, I say yes to you. God, I want to be part of the new thing that will change lives and that will make a difference. But God, don't do it without me. See, I know this is not for everybody. Because it's just a few of God's people that want to be the difference and make a difference. So those will celebrate this prophetic message from God. I will do a new thing, but God, don't do it without me. God, don't do it without me. God, I am committed to you, Lord God. God, I'm committed to you. Don't do it without me. Hallelujah. So let's get to our scripture and see how God takes this passage that we've heard over and over and over again in our church and give us a relevant message this morning. So he's taking us back to the gospel according to St. John, chapter 15. He said, go back. I have a message for abundant life this first Sunday. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to our church. This is not for everybody, so hold on. So our scripture is one verse in chapter 15. So I say stand in reverence to this one verse. A verse that Jesus said. And this is Communion Sunday. And we want to know what Jesus is saying to the church. The verse is verse 7. You've heard it before, but God said, go back. And Jesus said these words, and it's read in my Bible. Based on the NIV, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. You may be seated. Yes, God, and I was up quite late this morning, or early this morning, having a conversation about this message for the church. About 3 o'clock this morning, God gave this title. See, oftentimes I think I know what I'm going to do. And people ask me, what you're preaching about? What you're going to say? I don't know what God is going to say. But I do know his word is true. And if he gives it to me, I'm going to say it. So about 3 o'clock this morning, God said, tell the church this. Talk to them about this title, The Traits of a Prayer Warrior. The Traits of a Prayer Warrior. Mm-hmm. See, we need to know this because as we sing in here, this is war. So if you're going to be a warrior, God is saying, speak to my people about the traits of a prayer warrior. Yes, we have studied as a church family more than once, understanding the purpose and power of prayer. And we have even talked about prayer makes the difference. But God is saying today, I want to take you a little deeper because I have this assignment for you. So he wants us to listen to his message about the traits of a prayer warrior. God is saying to the church, we must seek him in prayer for direction and guidance. He is saying to our church, don't attempt to do my work without me. He is saying to our church, seek my will for your church and your lives, because prayer makes the difference. So as I prepare this message, oh God, yes, it was this morning, I said, God, the people have heard similar messages. Many would say, I know about prayer and I heard about prayer. Why is the preacher telling me on the first Sunday of January 2016 about prayer? See, God and I had a conversation about this last night because I had some things in my mind that I was going to talk to you about. But God said this. But they are not living the message yet. They talk about prayer. They even say prayer changes things. But they're not living this message as prayer warriors yet. So there's a faithful few that will be an abundant life, that will be true warriors for me. Those that will move my vision forth for this church. So tell them again. Tell them again that prayer does make the difference. Tell them that I'm looking for prayer warriors. So as we begin this new year, I would suggest to each one of you that desires to be in God's will, that desires to be in God's will, not for everybody, for those that are desiring to be in God's will. If you want to see a positive change, a healthy change in your lives and in your church, in your nation and in this world, you must strengthen your prayer life. You must commit to being connected to God of the universe. And this word is correct. The prayers of the righteous, the righteous, the righteous, the righteous availeth much. And we'll change things, we'll change situations, we'll change people by the power of the Holy Ghost. So I know many of us have heard this before. Truly, someone, does prayer really change anything? See, I've tried it, but remember what the Bible says. The prayer of the righteous. Come on, if you're a warrior, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And I just believe there's some righteous people in this place and people desiring to be righteous that want to see some stuff shift on this earth, shift in our church, shift in their lives. Look at our world. I don't have to tell you what's going on, but the prayer warriors can make a difference. But the Bible says the prayer of the righteous. The righteous. The righteous. Hallelujah. I'm going to just go back a little bit and just tell you about this gospel written by John. John wrote this so long ago for us, so that we would realize that Jesus is Lord. So that we would believe that Jesus came so that the world would have life and have it more abundantly. But you must believe it. God looked at us and we were in a sad state. So he sent Jesus to forgive us, to heal us, to save us, that we may have eternal life. So this is why John is writing. We're told that he walked and he talked with Jesus. That he witnessed Jesus heal and convert. So he's a good authority for us to look to if we desire to be prayer warriors. As I've said it before, prayer is not complicated. Sometimes we make it so very complicated, but it is simply talking to the God that or who created you. But Jesus did say you must abide. So I've read that many people, even believers, do not believe prayer really changed things because they haven't had much success. They have prayed and nothing happened. I've heard somebody say, pray until something happened, but they have prayed and nothing happened. So God is saying to the church this morning, Pastor, take some time and teach this to them. We all can shout and we can all run around, but teach the people about being a prayer warrior. And teach the people about what will hinder their prayers. Why is nothing happening when you pray? So one of the things God said, tell them sin will block their prayers. Tell them if you humble yourselves and you seek God and you turn from your wicked ways, God will forgive you and he will hear your prayer. Tell them sin will block their prayer. See, the Bible is right, you all. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from that sinful, wicked stuff that they do. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and then I will heal their brokenness. I will heal their land. Sin. Why is God not hearing me? Sin stuff. Then he tell them this. Fear will block our prayers. Fear will undermine your faith. Do not pray in fear, but in faith, and God will hear you. 2 points. Sin, check yourselves out, fear. God said, tell the people that guilt will block their prayer. See, you must accept and realize God has forgiven you of your sin. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has I removed your transgressions. Do not keep walking around in this guilt. Don't allow guilt to keep you from praying to your Heavenly Father. See, I want to walk through this because, see, somebody needs to hear this morning. For those of you that can't hear it, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. But God said, tell them that doubt will hinder your prayers. Because you don't truly believe that God is able and God will do it. But you're doing it as a ritual because people say, pray. God is saying, doubt. You must trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. God said, and Jesus said, have faith in God. You cannot expect God to answer your prayer if you pray in doubt. Come on, Holy Spirit. God said, some people pray with wrong motives. Stop it. Praying selfish prayers. When we have our priorities correct, putting God's kingdom first and honoring him, God will hear your prayers and answers. Forget about those selfish prayers. God knows what you need. Pray that his will be done here on earth, that his will be done in your family, in your church, that people are healed and delivered. Pray with the right motives. God is saying unforgiveness will hinder your prayer. How many of us know that we haven't forgiven somebody, talked about somebody, and then you see God's will for your life? God, do it for me. God is saying this morning, unforgiveness will block your prayers. The word of God says this in Ephesians 4. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with malice. Let it go, people of God, if you want him to answer your prayer. Be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. It's so many things, but we have to be mindful of these. God said, idols will block your prayers. You're praying, but you have little idols in your life, and God is not hearing you. See, this is the beginning of the year. You can get this thing right. You can see a change in your family, your community, your church, the world, the nation, because we could be world changers if we believe this word. Idols. We need to examine our priorities. Anything you value more than God is an idol. Do a mirror check right now. Don't look to your right or to your left. Anything that you value more than God is an idol and will hinder our prayers. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do not let anything, anybody come between you and your Savior. Great day to make a change. This is not to convict you. This is to build you up so you can get right with God and do it now while you still have a chance. Come on, people of God. God has greatness for some of us. Get rid of your idols. You know what they are. Be mindful of these things and eliminate them from your life. If you're going to be a prayer warrior. And let's take a look at some prayer warriors. See, Jesus is the perfect example of a prayer warrior. He prayed and stuff happened. Oh, yes, he did. He prayed at his baptismal. He prayed at the transformation. He prays at Gethsemane before his crucifixion. He's about to die, but he's seeking God's direction. See, when things get mighty tough for you, I suggest you follow Jesus and you see God. Jesus, God, what is your direction for me? See, it's mighty tight up in here, God, but I need you to fix some things. Jesus went to God. I'm hurting inside. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to turn? Who do you want me to call? Jesus. That is our example, you are. Hallelujah. 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 Through the Bible, we see prayer warriors. We see things shifting. In 2 Kings, you know about Hezekiah. The prophet said, you're going to die. Hezekiah looked to his God and said, God, I've been so faithful to you. God, I know that you're able. God, I just need for you to fix this thing. God, I don't think you're finished with me yet. And the Bible tells us that Hezekiah lived 15 years after that. Pray to your God. See, that's a warrior, a person with a relationship with God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, God. Help me, Lord God. So let's just look at two more prayer warriors, and we're going to kind of wind this thing up. Some people may be a little bored, a little sleepy, but see, God has a word for his church. So you just hold on and watch God do what God needs to do in this place. So we're going to talk about two prayer warriors. But they say, Paul and Silas. Do you all know anything about Paul and Silas? They were behind the prison walls. They were behind bars. They were in captivity. They were prisoners. But the Bible tells us around midnight, they began to sing to our God. They began to give God some glory. They began to pray. And suddenly, there was a rushing earthquake. God shifted some things. God changed some things because he heard the prayer of his warriors. Hallelujah. The doors flew open. The chains were loose. See, that's what we need for God. If you pray, he will loose some chains for you. He will break some chains for you, just like he did for Paul and Silas. God is looking for prayer warriors. Hallelujah, Lord God. But we must remember these things, warriors. Some of you, warriors, see, traits for prayer warriors. You must abide in him. One, his word must abide in you. Two, and then you ask him. Three things, abide in him. Let him abide in you and that word abide in you. Then you ask. Then you ask. Then you ask. Because see, if you are abiding, those things that hinder you won't even exist in your life. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Everybody won't get with this. But if you are abiding, those things that I talk to you about sin, about guilt, about fear, about idols, they won't exist. So the warriors must abide. This is the word for the church for abundant life as God do his new thing in here. People of God, is anybody with me? Are you committed? I'm going to surrender all. I am going to abide. This word is going to abide in me. This is war, people of God. Recognize what it is. And I'm going to begin to close. This stuff on the paper doesn't matter because this is war. God is looking for prayer warriors, but you must surrender all. You must surrender all. I don't need that. I just need to talk to you all. Are you serious about your relationship with God? Do you really want to change things here on earth? Do you want to see your family delivered and healed? Do you want to see your communities whole? Do you want to stop hearing about all this crazy killing? You need to be part of the change. You need to be a prayer warrior. God will hear the prayers of his warriors, people of God. But you must abide. you must abide. Everybody is not willing to give up their secular life and the things they think are so important to them. But this message is for a few of us that have decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. I am going to surrender it all to him and let him have his way. See, I am sick and tired of hearing about our young men killing each other. I'm sick and tired of our children being abused and bullied. But I believe the power of the Holy Spirit through his prayer warriors will shift and change some things. But we must say, yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord, I surrender all. God, I've tried it my way. Nothing changed. Matter of fact, I got deeper in sin, deeper in mess, deeper in stuff. But this day, 2016, I want to be the difference that make a difference, and God help me to abide in you. Please stand all over the sanctuary. I believe I know that most of you all are saved, so we're going to celebrate God for salvation. But God requires more of us. So